I'm willing.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Portland City Council Chambers. We're glad that you're here. Let me go through the protocols for this chamber. They're the same announcements I make at most all beginnings of all council proceedings. How many of you are here for the first time? All right. We're glad that you're here. If you want to testify, you need to sign up outside and we call testimony and the order was received. Testimony is in increments of 2 or 3 minutes. When you approach the table, your name is called. We call them 4 at a time. We need your first and last name. We do not want your address. We do not want your phone number. We do not want your email address, just your first and last name. If you are here as a lobbyist for an organization or you have the ability to speak on behalf of an organization, local law asks that you report that you are a lobbyist. In terms of this council chambers, we work very hard to make people feel comfortable in presenting all points of view, including points of view that might be contrary to other people in the room. So there is no noise, there is no clapping, there's no hooting, there's no hollering, there's nothing in terms of auditory response. You like something, you can do this. It's good exercise. You don't like something, you can do this. We've updated it. You've updated it further. And then we are not hearing 1342 today. It's being postponed until January 26th, and we're going to call the roll. We're going to read those two items first. There are actually no votes today, just taking testimony. So, Carla, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. Good.
Good. Can you please call the roll?
Mm-hmm. Leonard, Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman, Adams.
Here. Can you please read the titles 1342, items number 1342 and 1343?
1342, consider the proposal of Safeway, Inc. and the recommendation from the hearings officer for approval with conditions of a comprehensive plan map, zoning map amendment, and adjustment to replace the existing 21,665 square foot building with a new 62,925 square foot two-story grocery store at 8039 Southwest Capitol Road and 8145 Southwest Barber Boulevard, LU11103310CPZCAD. And 1343, amend the comprehensive plan map designation and change zoning of two lots in the vicinity of 8039 Southwest Capitol Hill Road and 8145 Southwest Barber Boulevard at the request of Diane Phillips of Safeway, Inc., LU11103310CPZCAD.
So unless there are objections, items number 1342 and 1343 are postponed until January 26, 2012 at 2 p.m. time certain. You have an announcement about your time this afternoon.
Yes, I need to leave as soon as we have expeditiously completed today's work. My good friend and supporter, Norm Stoll, passed away recently, and his funeral starts at 2:30. Norm was a wonderful person who is a beloved person in the Northeast community, and I would like to be able to go to honor him at his ceremony.
So is Commissioner Saltzman out on an absence? Mm-hmm. And Commissioner Leonard is on an absence. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we will stay and listen to whatever testimony is signed up. Are we allowed to do that?
We don't have a quorum.
I know when they leave.
No, I won't leave. I just say if we could be expeditious in the amount.
How many people have signed up?
About 30.
Okay. You'll get 2 minutes each, and we'll call you in the order that you are called. You have to testify on the items on the agenda. If you want to testify on any other issues, then you sign up for that at the city clerk's office in the office of the auditor. And there are 5 slots for that every month. Let's begin.
Item
1340 and 1341, if you could please read the title.
Yes. 1340, accept report on recommendations regarding the Portland Police Bureau, and 1341, establish the authority for the Citizen Review Committee to make policy recommendations directly to the Portland Police Bureau, increase the length of term served by Citizen Review Committee members, and clarify procedures of the Citizen Review Committee in hearing appeals from community and bureau members.
Okay, we'll hear from the first 4 people. Okay.
First 4, please come on up, are Justin James Bridges, Joanne Hardesty, Jackie Miller, and Dan Handelman. And they'll be followed by Debbie Iona, Justin Kirsten, Frank Zidowitz, and Michael Johnson. Oh, and Adam Smith, the 4th one.
Welcome to City Council. Glad you're here. Find yourselves a mic. Mr. Bridges? Are you Mr. Bridges?
Yes, I am.
Please begin.
My name is Justin James Bridges, and I am a victim of police brutality and misconduct. Before the incident on November 13th, I was fully mobile, made my living as a blues guitarist and singer. I was also a volunteer American Sign Language interpreter for Occupy Portland. It has been more than 3 weeks since the incident, and I am still in a wheelchair. I still have loss of feeling and movement in my right arm and right leg. I'm also experiencing severe back spasms, excruciating and painful.
And I need you to speak to the ordinances, the resolutions.
The Portland Police Bureau has demonstrated that they lack good judgment necessary to interact properly with peaceful, nonviolent protesters who are exercising their First Amendment rights. Allowing the police more flexibility in these situations would be a disgrace to Portland and everything this city stands for. Furthermore, allowing the police department to be in charge of those police misconduct cases allows little to no accountability for those officers under investigation. All people, including police, politicians, CEOs of corporations, individuals in the military, and civilians, should all be held accountable for their own actions. I have a bill here for $22,127.26 that was given to me today. I received today from the hospital as a result of what your officers did to me. All right. Everybody has to be held accountable for their actions.
And have you filed a complaint yet?
Yes, I have.
Great. If you want to leave copies with the clerk, I'd welcome you to do that. Thank you for being here. Sir.
Adam Smith. About 3 months ago, I was living in the city of Seattle, Washington, where a background check came back stating I had warrants here in the state of Oregon. I called up and stated I want to take care of them, and how do I do so? They replied that I must physically be present here in the state of Oregon. I flat out stated to them, the only way that is possible for me to do so is to physically sleep outside on the concrete to be present here. They highly suggest I did so. Now, I have not experienced any harm from anyone until they found out I was actually affiliated with Occupy. It's when one officer actually stated to me, if I am to be found sleeping outside in the city of Portland, I will be arrested for camping. And that's all I have.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi, welcome.
My name is Jackie Miller. I'm a volunteer with Elk Legal Collective, which formed to help address the legal needs of Occupy Portland protesters who've been arrested in acts of civil disobedience who have been victims of police brutality and misconduct. On the detailed policy proposals, I defer to Portland Cop Watch, who's been studying these policies for longer than I have. I want to speak more generally to the topics of granting flexibility to police and use of force and questions of review. Portland police have amply demonstrated in the last month that they do not possess the restraint and judgment to use appropriate force when policing even peaceful protesters. A young woman had a baton held to her throat in a chokehold and was pepper sprayed full in the face. An 81-year-old World War II veteran was thrown down and his head bashed repeatedly into the concrete. Justin James Bridges was one of at least three protesters who left Chapman Square in an ambulance. Another suffered a severe concussion, and one arrestee's hand was twisted by an officer until the tendons ripped. These are just some of the more egregious examples of police brutality we've witnessed in the last month, but for each of these, there are dozens of reports of excessive use of force against peaceful protesters resulting in injuries. In the face of this response to peaceful protesters, the request for more flexibility in use of force is patently absurd. We should be moving in the other direction, holding the police more accountable for the inappropriate use of force many have already been exerting. We should be talking about ending the use of pepper spray and tear gas by police, not enabling them to use even more potent pepper spray. Some of the cruel injuries we've seen may be the result of casual sadistic tendencies on the part of individual officers, but there also appears to be a calculated cruelty more broadly directed at Occupy Portland protesters, where officers as a group seem to feel empowered to administer random baton strikes and pepper spray, to exert excessive force when taking protesters into custody who aren't resisting, and to leave arrestees in excessively tight zip-tie cuffs for many hours. Last weekend, we saw that protesters are being arrested in parks in the daytime with barely any pretense of legal justification. These are clearly political arrests, and these arrestees are then subjected to excessive force and brutality. I've seen these wounds with my own eyes. How do we hold police as well as other city officials accountable for these kinds of political decisions, which are obviously intended to put a chill on protesters' efforts
need to
defend
to wrap
constitutional
up.
Rights? So when we're talking about accountability and review, we certainly don't have confidence in police to police themselves, as demonstrated by their media campaigns. And given the political nature of this policing, we have to question the impartiality of city officials, too. Meaningful citizen participation and review is indispensable.
Thank you for your testimony. Welcome back, Ms. Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. City Council members, for the record, I'm Joanne Hardesty, and I was a member of the stakeholders group that spent 4 months developing the very detailed list of recommendations that are under your consideration right now. I was in Chapman Square on Saturday when the police came and decided to clear Chapman Square. I was actually one of the people that were on the front row with the cops. I observed officers starting to push people before the police had given people directions as to what they wanted them to do. And so they surrounded us and started pushing people back. There was an officer that actually took his baton and was pushing me in my chest with his baton. I was fortunate that there was a smarter officer, two officers over, that said, hey, if you tell people what to do and they're doing it, don't push them. Just let them do it. And so what we're hearing today are people's real-life experiences. And so I ask you, if the changes that we're making are going to make it easier for people to be able to file complaints and feel like they've been heard, and I don't think that we are going far enough in making the changes that need to be made so that community members feel like when they have these kind of situations that there's a process that will independently review Portland police officers. I will come back with the name of the officer that was the voice of reason because I want to publicly thank that officer, and I neglected to bring his name today. But I think, so there's some good lights in there, but the sad part is that when you have that kind of confrontation, you have junior officers who have no experience in how to engage people in meaningful dialogue. And they see it as an opportunity to just get their adrenaline pumping up and then just start pushing people around. It's not right, it's not acceptable, and that's not the kind of city we want to live in.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. The next four?
Next four are Dan Handelman, Debbie Iona, Justin Kirsten, and Frank Zeidowicz. And they'll be followed by Michael Johnson, Jane Hollenbeck, Jan Friedman, and Jeremy Graber.
Mr. Handelman, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. I'll try to do what I can in 2 minutes. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I'm testifying before you today for the third time, partly because I have the distinction of being the person who has attended the most CRC meetings on the planet.
You have worked on these issues for so many years, you can have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it. And thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your patience. So last night, the mayor and deputy city attorney Wobrell sat down with me and Ms. Iona from the league and went over some of the proposed changes. And we discovered that some of the issues have to do with language problems, differences between how lawyers read language and how the community reads language. I'm going to get to those in a second. Generally speaking, we were told that We should wait to see, in some cases, how the IPR system works before we look for more changes to CRC, the Citizen Review Committee. We were told last March that there were no changes being made to CRC because they were making only changes to IPR, and then we would get our chance later to change the CRC. This is that time. We don't want to wait anymore. We've been waiting for 10 years. So this is the time to do that. I have a lot more details in my prepared testimony. But skipping forward to the legal term issues, the standard of review, which we've been hearing a lot about, we've been reminded many times the reasonable person standard means that the Citizen Review Committee has to defer to the Bureau's commander if a reasonable person can look at the evidence and come to the same finding. But the ordinance actually refers to the CRC deciding whether findings are supported by the evidence. In legal circles, I guess that means automatically to people that it's an appeals body. To a person in the public, when it says supported by the evidence, it sounds to us like they're deciding by a preponderance of the evidence. And we didn't know that that language had any special meaning, and we also feel that because there are appeals bodies that hear de novo cases or cases from the beginning, from scratch, that it's not appropriate to say CRC cannot have the preponderance standard. And also, as I mentioned in my last testimony, they're only making a recommendation. The city also seems concerned that CRC's powers would then be equal to those of the IPR. I don't even know if that why that would be a problem, and it doesn't seem to be that different from the way things work now. And also, there was some concern on the part of the city about holding public hearings where these disagreements between the IPR and CRC would come out in public. And the whole idea, I thought, of this system was to have transparency. So for any concerns about public hearings, the only thing I can think of is the identity of the officers, which are used, Officer A and Officer B, all the time at CRC hearings anyway. So they have the right to not use their names, as does the appellant. And, Your Honor, you might notice that I have provided you with a strikeout version of the other document.
You warmed my heart.
All right, so number two, hearing new evidence and information at appeals. We found out through our discussion that when we're talking about CRC being able to hear new evidence at hearings, that we were using the wrong word. Evidence has a very specific legal meaning, and apparently nobody disagrees that CRC should be able to hear new information at their hearings. That is great news because we thought that you were disagreeing with us that somebody could say something that hadn't been entered in the record. However, as we talked about in our meeting with the mayor, at the city council hearing, it doesn't say it restricts council's purview to the evidence in the record. It lists the documents that are already in the file as what the council would review. It doesn't say council will review information that came forward at the CRC hearing. So we're hoping you will add a sentence that makes that clear, that council can review what happened at the CRC hearing. That would partially satisfy the concern we have about that conundrum I talked about last time. Policy changes. Somehow, and we had a long discussion about this, somehow it seems like somebody in the city was worried that by recommending that CRC can make its policy recommendations not only to the chief of police and the IPR director, but also to the city council or the auditor, that somehow it would make them more subject to open meetings law than they already are. But we pointed out CRC's work groups currently only have less than a quorum, so that they don't have to have, they're not subject to public meetings laws. They do that on purpose. They let the public in anyway, which is great, and we will hope they keep doing that. But if there's any concern about that, they can always say, you know, this is not a quorum, so it's not an open meeting. It's not about the public trying to get more access to classified IA files, which is what I heard what the concern was. Recategorizing allegations, we mentioned that we thought this was a good idea, both at the hearings for CRC to be able to say you didn't get all the allegations right, or to have a limited window at the beginning where they could come in the office, review a file, and say, you know, this is what the allegation should be in this case. I disagree strongly with the assertion that CRC is not trained well enough to be able to make such recommendations. They have been trained in police policy. They have public hearings on public concerns, which the Police Review Board does not. And they look and audit these case files on a regular basis. The conference committee I talked about last time, too, seems to me a second bite of the apple for the Police Bureau to come back and ask CRC to reconsider their decision. In 1982, when the first review board, PIAC, was set up, it was set up to be Portland City Council. Can I finish this thought, Mayor? It was set up to be Portland City Council. So, in other words, the beauty of our current system is that when our citizens and then the Bureau disagree with each other, ultimately all five of our city elected commissioners make a decision, and that we hope that that the system will continue to allow you to do that from time to time.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am.
My name's Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. I submitted a longer item, and I will just go through a couple of the points I've made on it. First, the standard of review. The auditor's proposed code language states that the CRC can challenge Bureau findings and recommend different findings if it determines the Bureau recommended findings are not supported by the evidence. The CRC reaches its determination by considering the investigative file, information presented at the appeal hearing, and any additional investigation. City staff members state that the CRC's job is solely to evaluate the investigation and process. We have observed over the years, however, that the CRC reviews the information gathered by IPR and IA and the applicable Bureau policies and then determines if the Bureau's findings are appropriate. If they are not, it recommends different findings as required by the ordinance. Regardless of the standard of review, the CRC has the ability to recommend different findings if it determines the evidence does not support the Bureau recommended findings. Changing the standard of review would improve the process by giving CRC the ability, after weighing the evidence, to determine whether it is more likely than not that the officer was out of policy and whether it should recommend a different finding to the Bureau. Conference Committee. The Conference Committee is the extra step added by the first IPR director, giving the Bureau an additional opportunity to discuss with the CRC a disagreement over a recommendation for a changed finding. Remember that Bureau representatives are present at the hearings and are able to share their concerns at that time. Some believe the Conference Committee is an important step because council time and resources should be protected from an inordinate number of appeals. Keep in mind that CRC has not held an appeal hearing in over a year, and in the 10-year history of IPR, only one case has come before council. It is hard to believe you would be swamped with appeals if the Conference Committee were eliminated. Furthermore, it is extremely important for council to hear a case from time to time. It would promote transparency and give you and the public the opportunity to get a closer look at police actions, policies, management, and investigations, and see how the IPR and IA work together to investigate and resolve cases. Thank you.
And I want to thank you both personally, not only for the time that you've taken over the years to stay on top of these issues, and you've made a huge contribution to the changes in the past 3-4 years, but also last night, the hours that you spent with me and my staff. I really appreciate it. We're not, in the next couple of days, we'll be able to, I'll be able to get back to you with substantive reply on some of the issues that we talked about, and thank you for investing the time. Sir?
My name is Justin Kurtzen. I was in all three parks, Jamison Park, Chapman Park, and Szymanski Park, when they were evicted. I was witness to a number of instances of police brutality. In Jamison Park and Chapman Park, I was personally shoved multiple times with police batons while following police orders to back up towards the outside of the park. I witnessed a number of other people receive the same treatment. In Chapman Square, when we were told to move to the sidewalk, those of us who moved, we were then proceeded to be shoved and hit by police officers. Some of us were forced into the street. Some of us were pinned against cars. Some of us were pulled back into the park, dragged around and thrown and arrested after following orders to leave the park. Finally, in Szymanski Park, I decided to sit down and I got arrested. And watching the way the police handled not only the people who remained in the park, but those who peacefully remained and chose to be arrested was appalling. I've watched police officers overhand swing billy clubs and beat people who literally just stood there and took it, didn't move, didn't call the police officers names, did not fight back, just sat there and took it. And frankly, I'm a little bit frightened and appalled, not only that anyone would be asking for more flexibility in these matters for police officers, but that when these instances do come to review an investigation, that they're going to be investigated by the police bureau or by police officers themselves. I don't understand how that's independent. I don't understand how that's accountability. And I really, really hope that this does not happen.
Where you you say asking for more flexibility. What are you referring to?
As far as I have heard is that there are requests for more flexibility in the use of police force in the instances dealing with Occupy Portland.
No.
Well, okay.
Hi, so welcome.
I don't believe that, but okay.
I didn't expect you to, but as a police commissioner, I can tell you no such decision has
been made. I don't have any faith in you as our police commissioner, sir.
I'm not surprised by that.
Frankly,
either.
I think you owe us an apology for the police brutality that has happened in this city.
I don't expect you to say anything else, but no order has been given.
Mayor,
hi, welcome.
Can I get clearance on the ordinance that we're actually discussing in so I can better make my point? So, you know, I don't want to ramble on about something that I shouldn't be rambling on about. Can I have the ordinance repeated that we're discussing here? Or
fair question. You're welcome to come back. She has a title. You can take a look at it, and you can come back in line. I've got a lot of people that are waiting to testify.
It's fine.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you testifying on the ordinance. I'm very willing to hear the concerns about events at another time. I really need to ask you all to focus on your comments on the ordinance, and we're not voting on it today, so if you need more time to look at what it is that is being proposed and then to come back to another hearing or to send in comments or to meet with me, I'd be more than happy to do that. I can't stay to listen to concerns other than on the ordinance today.
Carly, can you please call the next four?
Yes, the next four. Please come on up. I'm sorry, were you Frank? Michael Johnson, Jan Friedman, Jeremy Graber, and Jesse Sponberg.
Welcome back, Mr. Johnson.
Hello.
Please proceed.
Followed by Barry Jo Stoll, Charles Stubbs, Diana Richardson, and Teresa Rayford.
My name is Michael Johnson, citizen, born and raised Portland, Oregon. I just want to speak to about the CRC and the meetings and so forth that you're having with them and the progress that's being work with that organization, that community, I should say. I think it's very important that one should come up and support what they're doing because of the hard work and the long hours that you guys are both spending together. We know that the Portland Police Bureau is not 100% correct in everything we do. We know there's incidents and problems that happen within the Bureau. But we know that 98% is not all bad when it comes to the Bureau. We have changes that are being made from top level on down. And I believe that as a citizen, that we also have changes made when it comes to the CRC and the proposals that they make bring forth to the IPA or IPR, I should say, and that they should be able to have more power in reviewing documents and so forth. I believe they're very professional, very upstanding, and they represent the citizens of Portland when it comes to that part of our life and lifestyle and so forth. I believe that that we should not be able to get stagnated because we are leading the nation with this kind of work in this kind of forum that we are having. And I believe that we should continue to move forward in doing so. As I see Occupy Portland sitting behind me, I understand their frustration and so forth, but I believe that this committee has a major role in this process that we go forth and move as a city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I'm Jan Friedman. I'm an attorney with Disability Rights Oregon. Disability Rights Oregon is also a part of the Albina Ministerial Alliance, and we've also been part of the Portland Police Bureau Crisis Intervention Team Advisory Board since its inception. Since I have 2 minutes, I do have some written testimony that I'll turn over, but let's see. First, on AMA's 1.11, use of tasers shall be limited as outlined by PARC. The response as to Portland Police Bureau needing to be flexible in evolving situations does not make sense for citizens' safety and rights. Our concern is that the Police Executive Research Forum, as well as the U.S. DOJ, have partnered in a 2011 report on taser guidelines, and we're not complying with those guidelines. In particular, tasers should only be used against people who are exhibiting active aggression or who are actively resisting in a manner that, in the officer's judgment, is likely to result in injuries. A warning should be given to the person with whom the police are interacting. There should be one standard cycle of 5 seconds and then an evaluation, and they know that up to 15 seconds, either at one time or in consecutive Tasering may increase the risk of death or serious injury. Another thing that should happen is all people who have been exposed to taser application should receive medical evaluation by emergency medical. And these are US DOJ, who, as you know, are investigating Portland police right now. These are their recommendations in conjunction with PERF. We believe that the Bureau's training on the use of force with the de-escalation taught to all officers, that the Bureau should reconcile the training on use of force with de-escalation training. And what I see happening from being on the CIT advisory board is that they do a good job of helping police know how to interact with people with various disabilities. However, there's not the use of force continuum brought into any of those scenarios that we've looked at, and we've asked to look at all of them. The other thing is we're not able to even see what the materials are for that group. So it's really hard to provide advice on something that's like, in terms of a us and them kind of mentality. I mean, we're trying to be present and be helpful and be part of a process for positive change, and it's very difficult when we don't have the materials to look at.
I need you to submit the rest of your testimony. I appreciate your interaction with us and your advice in our effort to always improve. For those of you that might not know the background, Commissioner Dan Saltzman, who's not here today, and myself, with the support of the council, a year and a half ago, invited the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice to come in and do an investigation of the police force. And that the results of that are due in the next month or so. And thank you. Sir, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. My name is Remy. I'm a medic at Occupy Portland. Just if possible, can I have an extra minute to go through? Because I have a little bit of
listening. Because you were here last time. Yes, you get an extra minute.
Thank you, sir. I apologize. I still haven't got a chance to read through the entire thing. This was finals week. So it was a little bit busy. Yes. On page 5, item 3 talks about the request for a review of medical intervention into items that need EMS requirements, EMS interventions of use of force. And it says that there's already a policy in place for that. When I read through it as a medical professional in multiple states, there are other reasons besides what looks to be about imminent death to have a medical intervention. That would be things like use of tasers and use of less lethal methods, because there are things that you can't see that are going on. And things that the average police officer and people who are untrained in emergency medical situations beyond the basic level, they would not be able to identify that. So that was my first point. My bigger one is last time I was here, I touched on the police attempt to and the city's attempt to improve trust in the community after use of force incidents. I was saying last time, I have to ask what we're doing to improve the trust in the community, because the way I see it and the way some of the things I've heard are being proposed don't seem to line up with that. In this, we have we're trying to improve the flexibility of use of force in police situations. My question is, could we also include retraining in the use of force continuum? Because those are things that I don't feel are being enforced in the police department, as seen in some of the incidents at Chapman Square, as seen at Jamison Square, and at Shemansky Park. On Saturday, I actually was there for that. The park was closed early due to emergency closure. I personally put my hands on 6 individuals that were injured. 4 were abdominal strikes, one of which led to a spontaneous asthma attack. There was a severe hand injury, and then at one point, a 15-year-old was hit in the face with a baton. Shortly afterwards, Police Sergeant Simpson issued a statement practically denying that it happened.
Did you see that happen?
I did.
So if you could stick around, you would be the – we need witnesses for that.
Okay. Other options, and I feel that there were other options that were available that were not taken, that were not exercised. And I feel that one of the solutions that needs to be addressed in this is the exercising of alternative options and just being judicious and prudent in your decisions as an officer on the street and as a public official asking the officers to take an action against a group of people. We need to make sure that the actions taken are within measure of the actions that are occurring at that time. Since there was no violence going on at the time, to be met with violence was a little bit extreme.
Someone who was here last time and can observe. So when the police bureau asked people to clear out, did you hear that order?
I did hear the order to clear out. And to that note, there was a group of people that cleared out. With that said, there were people there that did not clear out. What I'm saying is there were other options other than closing the park early and then ordering people out of the park. Other options such as it's a $100 ticket. It's a $100 fine for having a tent in the park. There were only a minimal number of people that actually brought tents. fines could have been issued. If you wanted to use riot police, they could have stepped forward, secured the...
I need to move on to the others. Thanks for being back. I appreciate the conversation. Sir?
I'll keep it short today. Make up for his minute. My name is Jesse Sponberg, and I would first just like to say for the record how personally insulted I am that Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Leonard couldn't be here today. And I understand that they might have a good reason. But the reason I'm here today is not to discuss policy so much as to play on your sensibilities of the reality of the situation. There's a lot of people who can talk calmly today about policy.
I need you to stick to the resolutions in front of us.
I am sticking to the resolutions. I am just pleading with you guys to take this very seriously, more seriously than I think it is being taken. I have seen a progressive worsening of the situation, and it doesn't take a real genius to see up the road that one of these nice people behind me is going to get killed. Okay, the longer we ignore this, you know, this is Portland, Oregon. This isn't some crazy city that's overwhelmed with bad apples. These are all great people who show up to defend their civil liberties.
Related
to the resolution, somebody is going to die if you do not take this very seriously. I came all the way across town and I put on a tie so that hopefully you would take me very seriously before one of these great people dies.
So those of you that arrived late in this, I will... All right, we're going to take a recess.
Sorry, sir.
We're going to lose our quorum. When I say no clapping, I mean no clapping. You might not like what you're hearing. You might not like the rules, but the rules exist to give everyone a fair opportunity and to feel comfortable testifying. We're going to lose our quorum, which means this hearing will end. She has to go to a funeral. Our colleagues up here didn't know you were going to be here, and this is the third hearing on this issue.
This is bullshit.
Then what? Sorry, hold on. No.
Well,
she
didn't get to choose when the funeral was scheduled for. These two other folks had pre-existing absences. Nobody knew. Just a second.
No.
Yes, we did
bullshit.
Not know folks were going to show up for
bullshit.
This particular
all
hearing.
These people who are here.
We're in. We did not know. Listen, we did not know. This is the third hearing on this topic. We've had two other hearings, and we will have another hearing. We didn't know that you were all coming on this particular time and date. How did we know? These have pre-existing absences. So if you're going to listen to me, listen to me. Listen to me, or we'll just end the hearing. End the hearing. I don't think... Very good. Ma'am... We didn't know you were going to be here. These folks had pre-existing absences. She didn't get to choose when someone was going to have a funeral. Okay? So, and we are here to listen to you. And we are here to and are listening to you. She has to go to a funeral. We are going to do that. She just noticed that she has to leave. I'm happy to stay. I don't know if Commissioner Fish can stay. We're not voting today, so the official quorum ends, but we will stay. The broadcast will continue, and we'll continue to record it. I have to notify you all we are losing our quorum.
Thank you, Mayor. May I just ask if there's anybody here who's specifically here to make comments on the specifics of the ordinance? Because the mayor just said that he will stay and listen to concerns about police behavior. What I am here for and why I didn't break the quorum before is that I need to know the specifics of what do you like, what do you not like about this particular ordinance. If you're not familiar with the particular ordinance, we're not voting on it
today. We call you in the order you sign up, sir. You will have to wait until your turn.
So
please return to your seat. As in right now.
Please.
Return to your seat. You've all testified. Thank you. You can return to your seats.
So So I, if there are those who have comments, because sometimes it is, often it is really helpful to see your face, to my face, and to listen to you in person rather than reading your comments, although many of you know that I do read all of my emails, and so I, and I do respond to them. So if you're here to talk about the specifics of the ordinance so that I might have a question that I could ask you, what did you mean by that, I will stay for that, and I will miss the funeral of my friend. I can't stay to listen to the other concerns because there are other opportunities for you to do that. There isn't another opportunity to go to my funeral.
So is anyone who has who's signed up, who has, before we lose Commissioner Fritz, who has specific comments on the on items number 1340 and 1341. I will stay and listen to those. Please come forward. Sir, now please come forward. Is there anybody else? Ma'am, in the blue shirt that was yelling at me, did you have on this specific ordinance, these resolutions? Or are you here to talk about other issues?
I'm here to discuss police brutality.
Okay, so you'll wait for the rest. Anybody else on these specific resolutions? Sir, would you like to begin?
Yes. Yes, my name is David Burgess, and I would like to say hello to everyone. Hello, Mr. Mayor. Hello, Ms. Fritz.
David, could you move a little closer so we can hear you?
Sure. Can you hear me? Yes, my name is David Burgess, and hello to everyone. On November the 2nd, I was the only person arrested. I was protesting peacefully. And on that same night, there were several people that were struck the same way that I was by police officers and their bicycles, ramming them into their ribs, ramming into the lower area, ramming them into their knees. And I was arrested, and pretty much the police officers were very unprofessional. There were some officers that were also using foul language, and also there were several different people that got hit by motorcycle police officers. And me, as a deep military family, I have talked to several different of my friends that went to high school with me that are right now in Afghanistan, and I told them about this situation, and they cannot believe that this is going on in the United States of America. So what I would like to have this done, Mr. Mayor, is you do an investigation, a serious investigation on what happened not only that night but the several different instances.
Sir,
yes.
The folks I called up here before we lose Commissioner Fritz were on these resolutions, which relate to police issues.
Yes.
I need you, the rest of you, your comments to relate to these resolutions. I will stay after that and listen to everyone else who signed up.
Yes. So am I off the topic, what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Thank you all, and have a nice day.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am.
Sally Jockin. I was on the stakeholder committee. Since I know that you want to increase community faith that the oversight system is independent, fair, appropriate, and worthwhile, I think that you should accept most of the 41 recommendations that the stakeholder committee spent many months putting together. And I thought I would just mention a couple of specifics that I wish that you would carefully consider. For the sake of repairing the relationship between the citizenry and the police, it is a good idea to collect survey data from complainants about, one, whether they would prefer an internal affairs investigation or one done by the IPR, and two, whether they prefer a full investigation or a non-disciplinary complaint treatment. This would inform the city government about what processes the people want and trust. The stakeholder group was explicit that the complainant would not be making an actual choice, but would be supplying important data via this survey that you could use it in the future. Secondly, in judging whether a police officer's behavior was in or out of policy, I think it is important to say whether there is insufficient evidence or whether the complaint is unfounded. These categories are not the same and should not be rolled together into the current unproven simply because with either finding there's no discipline for the officer. The complainant and the public want to and deserve to know how the police behavior was evaluated. And the third one I'll mention is I believe you should replace the term service improvement opportunity with the term non-disciplinary complaint. Because even though service improvement opportunity sounds like the intention is to make improvement in public safety service, it would be much clearer to the complainant why the officer, even if the allegation is true, would not face disciplinary action. And I don't think they would understand that by I think they would feel it was false to call it service improvement opportunity.
So thank you for your testimony, Sally. I do have a question.
Yes.
How would somebody who's not been through the process before know whether they wanted one process or another?
I hope that they would get some advice before and they wouldn't just be making a complaint and not speak to anybody about the possible ways that the complaint could be addressed. So I guess along with doing the survey, there should be some education to any complainant about the possible ways that it could be dealt with. So I suppose that the recommendation should state that as well, that they would be given the proper information so that they could fill out the survey.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
My name is Barry Joe Stahl. I have had plenty of run-ins with the Portland Police, and with very few and notable exceptions, they have all been not good for me. I can speak to my frustration as somebody who has never had a break from the ongoing illegal activities and the repercussions of those. I sit here today in the clothes that I own. The rest were destroyed by the Portland Police following my getting into an ambulance across the street here, Chapman Square. Before I got into that ambulance, I pressed into Sergeant Bocciagalupi's hand the same statute that I informed Commissioner Fish of, which was the requirement to hold my property. The question is for me, as a person having founded Free Camp David W. Crowther in August of 2010, to draw attention to the fact that we have a horrendous history of corrupt Portland police officers. Officer Crowther was killed while he's planting drugs after a Cook search warrant at the time that the Portland police were as corrupt then as they are now. My issue is that when I had a restraining order to protect me and it was violated and Paris Collins punched me in the mouth, the responding police officers arrested me and took me into custody. My tooth still hurts. When I made a complaint regarding the officer's response and subsequent testimony in their effort to prosecute me, the IPR said that my injuries, which were referenced in the booking materials that the Multnomah County Sheriff prepared, were a result of an attack on me at Lewis and Clark College, which happened a couple days earlier. So I personally know that when the facts are presented, here's me going into custody on the Lewis and Clark arrest, which was bogus, and then following that, the arrest where Paris Collins assaulted me when I was protected under the restraining order, and that was bogus. The fact that I had a fat lip from the second incident got conflated to be from the first incident. So I personally don't have any faith in any of you. I wish I could. I wish I didn't have a housing commissioner who knew that thousands of people were sleeping outside, that I have to have a vigil out front to pray for all of you to have some lick of common sense, some common decency, and finally taking action to stop these corrupt police that you're going to hear about day in and day out as long as you're able to listen.
So thank you for your testimony, Barry. Sir?
It's Barry Joe, sir. My name is Barry Joe. I was named Barry Joe before I was born. Last name.
Thank you, Barry Joe. I will be very brief so Amanda can attend her funeral. And thank you for your compassion for the people of the city. I just want to say that I endorse...
Just need to give us your first and last name.
Cameron Witten. I just want to endorse the CVRC and its changes, and I implore that council takes very seriously Portland Police. They have a very long track record of killing dogs, mentally affected people, minorities of color, and I believe that increased oversight of the Portland Police Bureau needs to happen through any manner necessary. It's been needed for some time now. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. All right, the next four, you can go ahead and take that.
Does anybody else want to testify on this ordinance? You could come forward if you're here to speak on the ordinance. I'd really, and I appreciate your compassion as well.
All right, sir, would you like to begin? You just need to give us your name again. Sorry.
Roger. My name is Frank Zadowitz. I haven't had much time to read over the ordinance. And again, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for being here in light of personal issues. Thank you, Mary Adams, for at least listening to us, and Commissioner Fish for listening to us. I read Portland Police Bureau's policy on using less than lethals, and it entails that Portland police utilizing less than lethals does it, well, basically they use it after they've determined that they're facing a violent suspect or a group of suspects or, yeah, I could read it, but the Portland, this is 1.8. Portland police, this is paragraph 3 of 1.8. The police bureau does not instruct officers to use less lethal weapons on people who are fatally injured. This tactic has been used rarely in cases where officers have used deadly force on an armed suspect who is down either on top of or in very close proximity to a firearm. Less lethal weapons are used in such situations to ensure the suspect is incapacitated prior to the officer's approach. It's important to note that this is usually done in a situation where officers have had a violent encounter with an armed person who has already demonstrated the willingness to use deadly force against officers and/or members of the community. The subsequent evaluation of whether the use of force is within policy includes a careful review of the totality of circumstances as they are known by the officers at the time. An administrative investigation into a deadly force incident would look at the reasonableness of all force used during the incidents, including post-shooting deployment of less lethal weapons. And what that is under 1.8 is all less lethal weaponry should be reevaluated for effectiveness, potential dangers, and appropriateness for use against civilians, including tasers, beanbag, shotguns, and pepper spray. This review shall include the disturbing policy of these weapons against suspects who are fatally wounded. And it says agree current practices. This is a current practice. And also one other thing, I'd like to make a recommendation that I also noticed that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is already involved in some type of investigation with the Portland Police Bureau.
I read at our request.
It's been requested?
We requested it. It's underway.
Okay. The investigation is currently underway.
Yeah.
I would make a recommendation that the National Security Agency be included as well. Just because I have, being an Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran, I've witnessed violations of the United States Constitution, and being as someone who's sworn oath to support and defend.
Thanks for your service. Violates the national security. Thanks for coming back. Ma'am.
My name is Jennifer Alexander. I'm a mom of four boys, and I was never camping down at the camps, but I came down under multiple altercations, and my testimony is regarding the same point that he just discussed, 1.8. My children came with me multiple times early on in the occupation. They were completely safe and loved and respected by everybody there. They were fed. They were played with. Everything was fine. On the eviction night, I did not bring them because I figured that was unpredictable. However, everything went fine on eviction night, and I was very impressed. And I went home that night just amazed at the city of Portland. I went home impressed. And the next morning, as I had gotten home at about 7 o'clock in the morning, I watched on live stream as things broke down and repeatedly have seen things breaking down since then with the use of pepper spray, with the use of the batons. And I know, at least when regarding pepper spray, the 9th District Court here, which as far as I understand is the most Supreme Court up to the Supreme Court of the United States, has said pepper spray is not to be used on nonviolent protesters, which much as the propaganda has tried to state that we are violent, I have not seen a single instance or proof of any act of violence from Occupy Portland, aside from what could be considered resisting arrest in some points. One of the things that I saw while police were hitting people with the batons and using the pepper spray was the police literally rob my friend's coat right off her back, and they never gave it back. And it's on video, and I actually tweeted it to you. So if you didn't get it, I will tweet it to you again tonight for you to watch. There are at least 4 different videos of my friend being robbed by the police. They stole her coat right off her back as she was following orders that had her cell phone in it. And then they threw her on the ground and stole her boot off herself. They took her across town to 49th and Burnside, I think it is, Division, wherever that traffic court is there, booked her, and then let her go. So she had to walk with an injured knee, no boot, no coat, all the way back downtown because she didn't even have her cell phone. And I even checked with the city to try to find her stuff, in addition to many other people who were similarly robbed by the police. And I was told that there was nothing in storage anywhere, that it was all disposed. It was not personal property. And, I mean, they stole it right off her back. It was clearly personal property. In addition to that,
time is up.
I got 2 quick sentences and I'm done. Okay. Last Saturday, my 2 children wanted to come back with me to Shemansky Park where they were doing the picnic, and I told my sons that they had to stay home because I wasn't sure anymore how to predict what was going on with the police. My 8-year-old son thanked me. He said that he was afraid that the police would beat him if he came with, and that bothers me. I've never seen a child afraid of the police.
Your second point, or is that it?
No, that was it, that my 8-year-old son is now afraid of the police because of the way that this situation has been handled, and my son should be able to go to the police when he needs something, and now he's afraid of them.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. Hi, ma'am.
Hi. My name is Teresa Roberts. I'm representing Occupy Portland. I'm a 58-year-old mother. My children are active in the movement. My ex-husband and his wife is active in the movement. We will not stand by and watch our children treated like this. I support this review. I thank you for inviting investigation of your police department. I have been calling your office. I'm doubtful that you get my messages, but we are watching. The world is watching. I see Portland on BBC News. Portland is an admired city. It should be a model for the world, and I want to just wrap up by thanking you for staying and listening to us and taking this seriously. We will be back for the next meeting in force. Please encourage those who did not attend today to be here to show us that you are taking this seriously.
They were here for the first two hearings on this same issue, just so you know.
I'm just saying that you said you did not expect us today, and I want to let you know that we will be at the next meeting in force. Great. And please expect us. We want to see that this is being taken seriously. We want to see everyone here. We want to feel like we can go exercise our freedoms. We want to feel like Portland mayor is not one of the mayors on a conference call with anyone from the federal government contributing to the militarization of police forces across the United States. We want to be able to trust you as we have been able to trust you in the past. We're counting on you as the commissioner of the police. Please use your influence to try to make sure that you have a full quorum who can stay to hear the citizens' complaints. And I will thank you for that, and I will be here to thank you for that.
Thanks. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Margaret Braden with NAMI Multnomah. And we want to let you know that NAMI Multnomah supports the work that has been done by Commissioner Leonard's stakeholders group. Our organization supports the independent oversight of the police performance. And as advocates of people with mental illness, we want to make sure that people with mental illness are represented in this process.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Appreciate it. The next four. Go ahead.
Mayor, do you want to go back to the list?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to excuse myself at this point. The hearing was billed for an hour, and I do want to show honor to my friend. Thank you for understanding. I'll be here to listen again.
Okay. We will stay.
The next four who signed up are Charles Stubbs, Diana Richardson, Teresa Rayford, and Elijah Grundner.
Hi, welcome. Would you like to begin?
Okay, and let's have Nina Ryerson. Ryerson? How about Nina? Come on up. And then they'll be followed by, we'll take Charles, Mark Parkinson, Jimmy, I believe it's Tardy, and Emma Day.
Please begin.
For the record, my name is Deanna Richardson. In listening to the testimony of other people, as we all have today, I would just add my name to the list of people who have been threatened with police force, brutality. And I want to go a different tack than what other people have been talking about, regulating the police. And I want to address what I think is the serious oversight. Mayor Adams, you're the commissioner of police. I hold you responsible for what happens with the police.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And what I want to say is that what's happened to Justin Bridges and to all the people we've heard about today and what's happened all the way along, this is barbarous. This is horrible. I don't know if you really take responsibility, but to me, you hit that person. And I'm only saying it because somebody has to be responsible. You're never there directly in front of it. I understand that. but it's your orders. I want to know how in the world the mayor of a city sworn to defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state and of the city of Portland, which guarantees us the right to gather and speak freely in public spaces, we have to be protected from the police. The police are here to protect all of us and protect